celebrate Thanksgiving. And so I want to read this to you and ask you to listen very carefully. I'm going to put it in the bulletin Sunday, but it was good enough for the time period that I want you to hear it. I'm not sure how many people actually read the inside that we put in, but I think this, I want you to hear it. It's entitled Thanksgiving. What if we were to do, what if we were to have nothing to be thankful for? What if we could not think of anyone or anything to be thankful for? Then we would be the most miserable people on the earth. I believe that. I believe that if we have nothing to be thankful for, there's always something to be thankful for. We just have to look. As Christians, we have a lot to be thankful for. First and foremost, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, we would be nothing. Without him, we would have nothing. And that we have come, all that we have come from him. And that there, it was created, it was made by him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. John 1 through 3. Gospel of John, first chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. He is the light of the world, the bread of life, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, and the life. He's a true vine. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and so much more. We could go on and on. God said in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As long as we have Christ, we need nothing else. Surely he gives us much more, but we only need him. He gives us life and abundance at that. What kind of life did we have before he introduced himself to us? We were not looking for him. I didn't get up one morning and say, I'm going to look for Jesus Christ. I want a better life. I don't like what's going on. I've got up many mornings and said, I'm going to try to find me a better job, better car, better house. But I never did get up one morning and say, I'm going to start looking for Jesus Christ, because I was dead in trespasses and sins. He is our shepherd. He called us by name, and we heard his call. He breathed into us life, spiritual life, made us a new creature in him. Every one of us that are saved, that's what he did for us. Now, instead of being on the outside and looking if we are on the inside with him, we are now the children of God. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. We have access to the Father through him. No one else could have done that for us. No one else could have cleansed us from our filthiness and clothed us with righteousness. And we were like the maniac of Gadara in a lost condition, but now we are sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Luke 8:35. So we have much to be thankful for. What doth hinder thee from being thankful? We should shout it upon the rooftops and across the valleys, echoes in the mountains. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect upon what Christ has given us, not what we materially possess. A lot of lost people have much more than I do, but they don't have what I do. If we are only thankful for our possessions, then we are thankful for only the things we have earned for ourselves. Most people, you know, where did you get this car? I worked for it. Where did you get this house? Whatever we got, we look at what we have and we take pride as, you know, God has blessed us, but we did this. But Thanksgiving is a time to reflect upon what Christ has given us, not what we materially possess. If we are only thankful for the possessions and we are thankful for only the things we have earned for ourselves, then true Thanksgiving is to be thankful for the things Christ did for us that we did not deserve. Not a one of us deserve what God has given. And most people say, God didn't give that to me. I worked for it. That's a very narrow view. Because if God didn't give you the strength, the ability, you wouldn't be able to work for any of these things. You wouldn't have any of these things. So Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Galatians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to thee which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And lastly, in the Revelations, the 7th chapter, verse 11 and 12, and all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. I believe this is what true thanksgiving is. Tonight, in the next 30 or 35 minutes, I'd like to speak to you on parenting. Parenting is potentially one of the most rewarding things we do in this life. With it comes great responsibility that each will have to answer to. You know, when we look at God's word and we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, God said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he have done, whether it be good or bad. You know, we talk about this younger generation and we wonder, what is the next generation going to be like? But who's responsible for this generation? I think we forget that. I've got three. They all live in the same house. They all basically had the same thing, whatever they need, we got them. They went to church three times a week until they were 18 years old and left house. I wouldn't let them do this. I wouldn't let them do this and that and the other. But we talk about this generation, But what about the generation that raised them? Where did we fail? And that just some people upset. I didn't fail. Well, I think that I raised my three children the best way that I knew how. But somebody has got to take the blame or the responsibility. But what we do, we say, well, I feel sorry when this next generation and this younger generation have kids. Well, what you're going to have, if it keeps up, you're going to have a generation that is dependent on the government. You're going to have a generation that is brain dead because they snuffed so much and drank so much that they don't know where they are. See, it's not something that we can go back and do over. If I had to go back and do over, I wouldn't have been so hard on some things. But I'd been a lot harder on some others. But it may be easy to complain or criticize this new generation, but at some point we must ask, what generation raised them? If there is something falsely in the method. As with any successful journey or endeavor, there must be foresight, consideration of the goal. Because the Proverbs, which I've probably read the book of Proverbs as many times as most people, and probably a lot more than most, because I read the book of Proverbs every month. I read a chapter a day, and I have for years. But in Proverbs 29:18, it said, where there's no vision, the people perish. Now, I don't point the fingers at anybody in this church because as a good basketball coach, a football coach, would say, the buck stops here. But God said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I think churches today have no vision of reaching the lost. What they do, they have a vision of reaching people. I mean, you know, we could have, my goal is each one bring one. That means that beginning January the 1st, that Steve would have a whole year to lead one person to the Lord. And if we got 30 members, the next year we'd have 60 members. The next year we'd have 120 members. The next year we'd have 240 members. It's just one person a year. Well, when it comes to parenting, we got to have a vision. We got to have a goal. And where there is no perception of accountability, there will be no natural course. There's got to be responsibility. Now, in the book of Psalms, 127 and verse 1. God says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. But what does God use to build his house? God uses human instruments. They that build it. But if it is not his work, it'll be in vain. God built his church. On the day of Pentecost, there was several thousand added to that church. All you got to do is go to the first few books of Acts and you'll see what that church did. It got so big that a number of them left and went here, a number of them left and went here, and they started churches. But we got to do it God's way. See, we got to do it the Lord's way. And we are parents of our children, but we are also, you know, we know that God is the one that teaches us and blesses us. But we as parents, we as Sunday school teachers, we had, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, but I've got a 24-year-old granddaughter that my daughter and her husband would tell her that I have more influence on that one grandchild and both of them together. When there's something big in her life, she comes to me. So my responsibility is that when she comes to me is to give her advice based upon the Word of God. But it's not only my responsibility to do her that way, but to anyone that comes to me and asks for, I need some direction, we got to lead them to the Lord. And you said, but it'll run them away. If they're not coming around, if they're not coming to you for direction, where are you going to run them to? Where are you going to run them to? God said here in Psalms 127, you know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. If you've been blessed to have a child, you've been blessed. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. The youth is going to be our next leaders. And the youth is leading more and more each day. But what are they leading? You know, it's not only Eastern. It's a lot of, I don't see much difference in the religious part, but I'm very familiar with the one over the Eastern, because when Jay went there, we had several battles. I don't care whether they're going off to college or where they're going, you don't serve a multiple God. There's only one God worthy to save. There's only one God. And they said, well, we're trying to reach the youth. You can't reach God's elect through error. It must be truth. Those children are heritage. They're the fruit of the womb. So when we look at that and we think of what God has done, you know, being the earthling we are, we may aim high in pursuit of career, education, respectability, popularity, wealth, pleasure, but all that is in vain if you die and go to hell. I think our young people, I try to tell them, I try to teach my own, you know, you got to prepare. Because mom and dad won't always be around. You've got to prepare. But in preparing, you don't leave God out. So being the earthlings that we are, we may aim high in pursuit of career, education, all that. But we can't forget what Matthew, the 18th chapter. Notice when we would please. Matthew 18 and verse, I believe, 5, if I'm correct. Matthew 18 and verse 5 said that whosoever shall receive one such little one in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, you can go on almost any campus in this country, and if you don't fit in with them, same way it was at IBM. The first thing that IBM tries to get you involved in their outward activities. They have golf, they had baseball, they had basketball, they had everything. What is the purpose of that? Well, let me tell you what this old country boy thinks the purpose of it is. As long as they can keep you under their influence, they're going to gradually, boy, they've been good to me. They've been good to me. But I tell you something that I think we are to look at. If God gave us the ability to do a job and we work for someone, if God saved us and had us to the church, if God saved us and gave us a good job, it was God that did that. Thankful. Thankful for the job. Thankful for my ability. But God, where's God? Thanking God for that job. Thanking God for who you are and what you are and what you know. Because if you really want to be blessed, you've got to know where your blessings come from. And as a parent, I tried very hard to teach my children. It is Dad that is working to provide you with this. You've got a responsibility to take care of it, but you also got to remember it was God that gave me the job. It was God who gave me the ability to do the job. I mean, I want my children, and I taught all three of my children, whatever we have, thank God for. I got a responsibility. The mother has a responsibility, but we also got a responsibility to teach our children and to teach our neighbors or at least anybody that will listen to us. I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't say that just because it's biblical. I believe that because humanly speaking, I take me personally, humanly speaking, I shouldn't be here. Who's keeping me here? God is my parent. He's my heavenly Father. It is God that determines whether this hand is fixed or this hand gets worse. It is God that determines. And I want to thank him for what he's done before I start asking him for what I want. And don't get me wrong, it's nothing to ask. It's nothing wrong. You know, I need this, Lord. But God already knows that. We need to realize that God is the one that we need to serve. God is the one that saves us. But God is the one that takes care of us on a day-to-day basic. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 12. Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou will work in my statutes, execute my judgments, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. The Lord does not bless disobedience, nor the placing of priorities before him. And if you read the whole chapter of Kings, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Some being more spiritually minded and concerned with their children's eternal well-being may be very diligent in the Christian education of their children, strict in rules and discipline, earnest in prayer, careful in example, yet one thing may be lacking, and what is the motive? What is the motive? The motive is that our children would grow up, be financially secure, and serve the living God. God tells us, you know, one may be eager to see a profession of faith and baptism and feel that the job is mostly done, but while they be with us in the hereafter, will they be with us in the hereafter? I've heard parents say, went to the graduation, and I've heard the mother say, I've heard the father say, well, I've done everything that I can. Now it's on their own. Is it? How long are my three children? Do they cease to be my child at 18? Do they cease to be my child at 21? Now, I'm not saying it's our responsibility to hand feed them and all that silliness. But they're still my child. You know, my son, and, you know, somebody told me he'd listen to these. I hope he does. Well, if you are, son, I'm talking to you. If he has just called his mother or would call his mother in the morning and says, Mom, happy Thanksgiving. I miss you. I love you. Man, you would see a different person. It isn't because he wasn't taught that. My wife would tell you tonight. I mean, he never ate a meal in our house from the time I can remember. He didn't say, thank you, Mom. I mean, that was instilled in him. You need to thank God for your mother who cooks your meals, washes your clothes, takes care of you when you're sick. You ought to thank God for a father who is there to help you. Then it gets around, what do we do with what we've been taught? These two, neither one of them. Married, I don't guess. Are you? Yeah, not married. You know, the only way they won't marry a lost person is they never date a lost person. You can look at my notes, it's not in there, but it's true. It's true. divorce rate in this country is outrageous. When they don't even last a year or 2 years. And when you get to the bottom of it, where is God? It takes more to be a Christian than belonging to a church, than having your name on the church roll. If there has been no regenerating work of grace by the Holy Spirit, there will be no blessed resurrection. Our hope is confined to this life and situation. What you have now, if you don't have that blessed assurance, if you are not a child of the King, what you have here is all of it. You'll take none of it with you. God tells us, you know, oh, that we would be more desirous to see fruits worthy of repentance. But see, we all, and I'd be happy Sunday, I'd be happy any time to see a lost person make a profession of faith and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the only beginning. See, that's what I tell people if I marry them or if I'm there at the wedding. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. When you walk down the aisle and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you submit to baptism, this is just the beginning. The development and the bearing of the fruit of the Spirit comes with how dedicated we are to the Lord. I mean, you know, how important is it to know everything there is to know of what God wants you and I to do in our life? Galatians chapter 5. Notice here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. See, the development and bearing of the fruit of the Spirit, God says in Galatians 5, 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What does that mean? We've got to walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, God says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't. In verse 17, he said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. It's who you're going to yield to. The Spirit is in, if you're saved, the Spirit is inside of you. You received that Spirit when you were saved. Now, the question is that God says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we are doing things that we know is wrong, we are not walking in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that he would. We know that if we are doing something and it's not fun, it's not pleasurable, we don't get some kind of reward for it, we don't keep doing it. When you walk in the flesh and you're a child of God, there is no benefit. No benefit. God said in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, I don't worry as a way of life what I shouldn't do. I'm concerned about whether I'm doing what I know to do. Because if I'm doing what I know to do, that other doesn't concern me. We got to, as Brother Bill, and I've showed that to you, you know, a railroad track. God's side, man's side. You stay right in the middle. And which one you yield to is going to depend on whether you are getting the worldly pleasure or the godly pleasure. God tells us in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You know, in verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, I also tell you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, we sometimes I hear people say, I'm so thankful I'm not under the law. Well, under the law, it's not near as strict as under grace. The law says, don't commit adultery. Grace said, don't even have it in your mind. The law says, don't steal. Grace says, don't covet what is not yours. But he went ahead and tells in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. And you notice, it's not fruits, F-R-U-I-T-S. It's fruit. It's a cluster. But the fruit of the Spirit, that starts out with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So the writer says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, a good translation for that verse, if we say we believe, I believe we do what we say we believe. I don't use dope, never have used dope. But there's other things that I've done that is wrong. But now that God has saved me, and I could still do those things, if I can lie, if I can steal, if I can deliberately hurt somebody, I don't have a mental problem, I've got a spiritual problem. Because saved people will not do that as a way of life. And remember the last few words, way of life. You can't live with yourself. How can a man live with himself when he comes in and beats his wife and don't support his own kids? How can he live with himself? He's controlled by a demon spirit. Exactly what it is. Because if he was saved, God tells us that's not possible. So as we look at these things, we see here that parenting is one of the most important opportunities of service to the Lord and must not be neglected nor pushed aside by busy schedule or selfish interest. The hardest thing I've ever done is to be a parent. Because you wonder when you've done the very best you think you can and nothing good comes from it. Why is that? we change and say, well, that's the way it is. Are we saying one thing in front of our children and living a different way? Have we really grounded in them that the most important decision they'd ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? And then the second is to find a Bible-believing church where the Word of God is preached. Because I probably sinned tonight. I ate so much that I had to go stretch out, you know. Man, you know, I said, nobody needs to eat that much. I mean, nobody's going to get it. You know, you're eating it like somebody's going to take it away from you. That's a simple thing. But the principle is there. Principle is there. If I would be that exciting about telling somebody about the Lord, if I could get as exciting about witnessing to somebody. When that young man came to me Sunday, sitting right in front of that door, and he said, I don't know what repentance is. And you know, he said, well, he has some problems. Well, sure he does. I got problems. Every one of you has got problems. But my responsibility and somebody's responsibility is to try to break it down as simple as we possibly can. That repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. When I tell somebody you need to repent of your drinking, what am I telling them? You need to have a change of mind about drinking. I told a 13-year-old boy this week, I said, you need to have a change of mind of how you talk to your mother. But why did he talk to his mother that way? He hadn't been taught. I'm a good dad. I'm gone 7 days a week, and, you know, I may do things I shouldn't do, but I see they have food on the table. You're a good provider. Praise God. Let's raise our hand for all the good providers that don't make you a good dad. Don't make you a good mother. Because I may eat like I did tonight every day from now on. And I'll be happy fleshly, but that will add nothing to my spiritual life. This is a spiritual life. So I want to close with this little, I didn't write this, but I love poetry. Truth. Forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future and behind a dim unknown. Stand of God within the shadow, keep watch above his own. I like that last three words, or really the last five, keeping watch above his own. God knows every move I make. And sometimes when I feel like I'm spiritual, that scares me to death. See, because you can't hear everything I think. And you don't know my true motives or whatever they may be. But God does. And one day I will stand before him and I'll give an account. Thanksgiving, I'm thankful I had parents that loved me. I'm thankful that since God saved me, I've always had a sound church. Preachers and pastors and people that care about me. I'm thankful for those things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. And we pray, Father, that those part of our flock that are sick, that you'll touch them, you'll heal them. Be your will, Father, you'll bring them back to thy house. Let us understand that